You're listening to Event CEO, a podcast for executives who are looking to maximize their event ROI through business strategy, technology, and innovation.
Hi, everyone, and welcome to the Event CEO podcast presented by Linder Global Events. I'm your host, Rebecca Linder, and today we're thrilled to have Howard Givner back on our show. As many of you know, Howard has 25 years of industry experience. He is an event industry business and thought leader, innovator, educator, and consultant. Howard is also the founder of Event Leadership Institute, which provides online and in-person training and education for event and hospitality professionals. Prior to starting ELI, he was the founder of award-winning event agency Paint the Town Red, Inc., and the former CEO of North America for Global Events Group. Howard is also the creator of the award-winning mobile app Superplanner and the co-creator of the Event Innovation Forum, a TED-style conference for industry leaders. He has taught, written, and spoken on a wide range of topics, and he currently consults for agency owners, in-house event teams, and tech companies in the events industry. I've actually had the pleasure of knowing Howard for quite a few years, and in fact was an instructor for one of his event courses for Event Leadership Institute. When he was here last time, we got both his insight and a conversation around the importance of how to become a trusted advisor and keep your clients happy, whether you're in-house at an organization and or an external agency. Today's topic is actually going to be around the future of commissions and why establishing your value proposition upfront with your clients is really critical. And some aspects of this applies not only to the external event agency, but also to the in-house. So with that, let's get underway. Howard, great to be with you today. Howard, once again, so great to have you on the show. Welcome back. Hope you've been well since I've last chatted with you.
I have. Thanks for having me back. It's a pleasure.
Great. And so today we're going to talk about the future of commissions, hot topic these days for, you know, many facets of our industry, and it's having a tremendous impact. Why don't you just kick it off? Let us know sort of what are your thoughts around? Where is this going?
Yeah, so there was a minor earthquake in the commission universe that started back in January. I believe it was January 24th or something like that, when Marriott sent a letter out to all their clients, basically saying that moving forward, 10% commissions were going to become 7% commissions. You know, they'd given a lot of thought and they had a whole answer for it. There was an enormous uproar in the industry. I believe Hilton was the one that came next, if I'm not mistaken, and Intercontinental shortly thereafter. Marriott took all the slings and arrows, basically, for everybody. Hilton had a little bit of pushback. Intercontinental, not so much. And the next company that does it is not even, a ripple. But this has become a big problem for an enormous number of companies for whom the commission is their primary, if not their only, revenue model. And for them, you know, going from 10% to 7%, that's a 30% haircut on your income. That's a lot. Not a lot of businesses can just swallow a 30% cut in their revenue without significant damage to their bottom line. And I think what's going on here is it shines a light onto a couple of challenges. It shines a light onto the third party that is relying on that commission and has not established the value of their services to those clients. They may agree on what they're providing, but they haven't necessarily agreed on a price. So third-party company XYZ venue sourcing or XYZ meeting planning might say to their client, we will help you plan this meeting, or we will help you find a venue, and our fees are paid by those hotels and those venues in the form of commissions. If it's we're planning the meeting and we're getting paid as a commission, that's the biggest disconnect, because the fee you're getting from the hotel for booking the rooms is almost unrelated to most of the other things you're doing for that client in the planning and the logistics and the execution. So in that case, your fee is coming from a third party and it really has no bearing on what it is that you're providing. A step closer to it, though, is if you're a company that's doing venue sourcing and you're saying, I will help you find a venue, I'll do this research, I will be paid by the venue a percentage of the business that we book. Well, at least you're getting paid by something that is directly correlated to the service you're providing. But where I think the majority of them have fallen down is nobody came out and said, for me to do these services, it's going to cost $5,000, $2,000, or $10,000, whatever the number is. This is what my time is worth to do this scope of work. Now, in an ideal world, that company would then say to the client, let's talk about how I get paid, right? We've established a value for what I'm going to do. I'm going to do these steps in terms of the scope of work, and that scope of work is worth $5,000. Once you agree on a price for that scope of work, how you get paid should almost be secondary. It should be the equivalent of finishing a meal at a restaurant and you agree on the price of the bill and the waiter says, will that be cash or credit, right? They don't care how you pay, right? They want to make sure you pay the right amount. In the scenario with the client, what you should be in a position to say is, we agree that my services are worth $5,000. I can get paid $3,000 of that roughly as a commission based on what I'm seeing in terms of the scope of work and the size of the room block. So you're going to need to pay me, the client, the other $2,000. If any of the event companies or venue sourcing companies have been having that conversation, far too few have, they're fine right now. All they have to do is go back to the client and say, okay, you know that $3,000 that we were getting from Marriott to book this event? That's now been sliced to $2,000. So the $2,000 difference that you were paying me, you have to now pay me $3,000. And that shouldn't be a problem. Now, the client may or may not be able to pay it, but there's not a huge existential disconnect because the client knows that what you're doing for them is worth the $5,000.
And hopefully, does that make sense? Yeah, totally. And hopefully it's documented in the scope of services contract that's been, you know, they've gone back and forth on. Yeah, it makes total sense. So, well, as we're on commissions, where do you think they're trending? I mean, do you see this as stable right now or do you see this going to zero over time?
I think that, and I've thought this for a while, I think that the commissions are only going to be going down. But I do think that there's going to be some flexibility to them. I think they're going to be variable, and I think they should be variable. I'll explain what I mean by that in a minute. But basically, where it comes down to is there's a fundamental gap between who's receiving value and how it's being monetized. What I mean by that is if you're an event company and you're providing services to IBM as the client, and you're getting paid a commission by Marriott for that work, your value to IBM is the scope of work you're providing for them. Your value to the Marriott who's paying you is completely unrelated to the services that you're providing IBM. Your value to Marriott is the piece of business that you are bringing to the hotel. Marriott is paying you a commission because they value that book of business and that revenue at that date and time in their property. So that there are three parties here and each party is perceiving completely different value. If you look at the Marriott side of that, and I'm using Marriott as an example, obviously mm-hmm. any property, if the hotel is saying, I'm paying you 10% because, you know, yes, that's an industry standard, but presumably we're okay with the value that you're giving us by bringing us this piece of business that we can afford to give you that 10%. If they no longer find they need the business that much and they want to cut that 10 to 7 or 5 or 3 or 0, that's a business decision Marriott's making. Maybe they're saying we're investing a lot in social media marketing and web marketing and we're building our own booking engine and we really don't want to have to pay, you know, 10% is a lot when it comes right off the top. And so for them, it's in their interest to bring that number down as much as possible, put as much of that money back into the hotel or into the owner's pocket or what have you. They're basically saying that we no longer feel the value of those events you're bringing is worth 10%. Now, I think where the opening is for these planners or these third-party sourcing companies is to take that 10% stranglehold where it's on everything and remove it and have it be a sliding scale. So if you're calling a hotel and it's for a piece of business that's 2 years out in October in a major city, okay, that's prime season for them. They probably don't need to pay 10% or 7% on that. They might want to pay nothing on it. If you come to that same hotel in June and say, I've got a huge piece of business for August meaning it's in 2 months, it's a slow period of the year, the hotel might pay you 12 or 15 or even 20% for that because it's far more valuable to them. That's a different model than where we are right now. I do think that you're going to start seeing more of that variable situational value on these different pieces of business. And if there are third-party companies that can kind of understand that, they might have some maneuverability. But I think at the end of the day, it keeps coming back to the fact that what you're providing to the hotel in exchange for the commission is in no way, shape, or form automatically the same thing as the value that your client is perceiving from you. And I think they will all be far better off by getting to a point where they can explain what they're providing to the client, agreeing on a price, and then worrying about how they get paid separately. But just to recap your original question, which I know I gave a long answer on, I think the writing is on the wall. I think we're in a seller's market, but you know, once they've gotten that taste of it, of lowering the commission, I don't think it's going to go back up anytime soon, especially given the consolidation and the M&A that's happening. So you've got fewer suppliers controlling more inventory right now.
Right, which is to their advantage. And what I draw out from yours is not only is it, you know, trending downwards, but where their opportunity will really be around our ability to negotiate on behalf of our clients in those leaner times in the hotel. And maybe there's some incentivization coming from the hotels around that time frame. So okay. There's, you know, the whole idea around commissions, let's take it a step further. And, you know, sometimes even the word commission can be seen or perceived as something negative. And you've always had, I thought, a great way of defining the difference between, you know, what a commission is versus what a kickback is. You know, as an industry, this is a debate that goes on. And certainly external clients feel strongly about this as well. Talk to me about how you define those two and what the difference is and kind of your take on it.
Sure. So in my view, the difference between a commission and a kickback is really just disclosure. And a kickback has a negative connotation, and I think that's right. And that's because the client, the person paying, is usually not aware that someone is getting money. A kickback is typically, quote, under the table, meaning the client doesn't know about it. A commission should be fully transparent and disclosed. And so if you use that as your litmus test, I think commissions in general have gotten an unfair bad rap in the meetings and events industry. There are a lot of people for whom they don't care whether it's disclosed or not. They think commissions are a dirty word, commissions are unethical, and et cetera, et cetera. And I disagree with that. I think if you're upfront with your client about the fact that you're earning a commission, and quite frankly, a lot of the contracts from hotels right now spell out in the contract that so-and-so is getting a commission. So, you know, it's harder and harder to hide that. But I think if you're upfront with your client about that and you're using the commission model as all or part of your revenue, there's nothing wrong with that. You know, millions of people make their living on commissions, and the commission model has benefits to the client. For example, you don't get a commission unless you successfully found the client a venue and they've closed the deal. So if I work as ABC Venue Sourcing and I'm telling the client I'm going to work off of a commission, if you spend, you know, 3 months with me and we explore venues, and then at the last minute when you're ready to close the contract, your CEO changes their mind, I'm not getting paid for any of that time. I've spent a lot of time with you doing research for which I am not getting compensated. I'm taking that risk, right? So you as the client, that's a big benefit to you. And the people who do earn their living on commission, I don't think are spelling that out properly. You know, likewise, there are some situations where, you know, the commission goes down because the number of people is impacted, et cetera. So the person earning the commission is taking a risk. In addition, when they do get paid, it's usually not until after the event's over, which could be 6 months, a year, 2 years later. So, you know, it's not like the commission model is perfect and it's at the client's expense and, you know, you're fleecing the client. I disagree with that significantly. I think that the disclosure to me is the key thing. And anybody who's not disclosing it because they just think it may rub the client the wrong way or what have you, I would say this to you. At some point, the client's going to find out. And if they find out from a third party, the client is then going to start to question, well, if my planner didn't tell me this or my agency didn't tell me about this, what else are they not telling me about? Right. And once you start eroding that trust, it's very, very hard to earn it back. And so I would say, is the money you're getting worth the risk of losing that client? And who knows who else that client will share that story with? And I think generally speaking, when they're not disclosing it, it's in part because they're afraid they can't justify it in terms of the value. You know, maybe they're saying my services to you are worth $10,000 and the client, you know, runs it through procurement and they negotiate you down to seven. So now you're doing work that you think is worth 10. You've agreed to take seven to get the job. Maybe you feel, you know what, it's worth 10. I'm going to get three on the side as a commission and not tell the client. As justified as you might think it is, if and when the client finds out, you've lost an enormous amount of trust that they've had in you.
Yeah. And I think with, you know, social media, not only just to be, you know, from a keep yourself in good standing. I mean, the idea around getting found out, as you say, is so much higher. And then the exposure and visibility around that is certainly higher now. Just to kind of, as we wrap this up, to bring the two conversations together around establishing value on the front end of the conversation and, you know, where a commission then can offset that. What are other ways to offset, you know, beyond the commission? So if I say, you know, our services are going to cost you $50,000, $20,000 of it can come from a commission, you know, but establishing that value, what are the other ways in the industry now? You know, there used to be markup when we first started. There was a variety of other things. I think still disclosure applies, but are there any other, you know, things that you're seeing out there of ways to have that creative conversation with clients around payment?
Yeah, I think the payment part is really not the hard part. There's what, five or so?
I guess I mean structure.
Payment models.
Right.
You know. Yeah, the payment structure. So there's a handful of them. They're either disclosed or they're non-disclosed. So commissions are typically not disclosed, meaning you're not getting the money from the client. A markup is usually not disclosed because the client doesn't necessarily know what your markups are. You can do it as a percentage of the budget. You can do it as a flat fee. You can do it as a time-based fee. You know, I've talked at length over the number of years about pros and cons of those, but I think at the end of the day, where the agency or the third party planner or the vendor, what have you, where they need to spend the most amount of their energy is not looking for another commission. Like I've read somewhere where some people are looking at getting commissions on AV to replace that work. And to me, you're just completely, you know, barking up the wrong tree on that front. You're not getting the takeaway that I think is needed. I think where they need to really drill down is, what's my value proposition, right? Why is client X hiring me? What am I bringing to the table? And what's that worth in the industry? And if your value proposition is venue sourcing, you know, you have to really tell the client why you're doing it is that much better and more valuable than, you know, someone else. Or even an app. You know, there are so many online RFP sites right now. And yet that process on the surface could be looked at and said, yeah, that's the same thing as the third party person doing that work. But it's really not, because, you know, the response rate from RFPs from venues is pretty variable. It's unpredictable. And a lot of the properties don't respond because they think it's just too easy for clients to shoot an RFP out to a lot of properties. If you're a sourcing agent and you have a lot of volume, then you can sell to the client the benefit of that volume and how that gets preferred access to dates and preferred payment terms and preferred contracts, and your calls are returned faster. You know, they've got to figure out how to sell the benefits of them, their services, and their competitive advantage. And once they've got that figured out, the payment model is really not going to matter. And they're going to have the confidence to come out and charge the client how much they want. And you got to think what it is. And it could be that you're a creative company and you focus on the design and the visual manifestation of the event. You could be a logistics whiz. You could be strategy. You know, you could be a sourcing agent or some combination of the above. But you have to know what the value of your services are in the marketplace and how to extend your margin above your competitors. And there's probably a lot of things that people do that add value that they're just not communicating to their clients. You know, just going back to the venue sourcing example, if you've contacted 30 venues in order to get the list of five that fit all the criteria and availability for the client, and you send the client those five, the client doesn't know you've called 25 others that are not available, right? So what are you leaving on the table? What are you doing that's being hidden from view from the client? And focus all your energy on that. When you get there, you know, you and your client can sit and figure out, are you going to pay me a fee? Is it going to be commission? Are you going to, you know, give me a truckload of tangerines and, you know, whatever it is. If you both agree to it, that's all that really matters.
As always, I thank you for your insight and your expertise. I mean, the real takeaway I'm hearing from you is be very thoughtful about your value proposition and sort of what it actually takes to get it done. Be transparent and fully disclose with your client that information, as well as the secondary appointment of how you're going to get paid for it, whether they're paying you directly or there's some other alternative to that, but be upfront about it. So,
yeah. And I think if you look at other fields where there are service providers or trusted advisors, et cetera, I think you'll find that there's very little discrepancy on the model of payment, right? You know, there are some lawyers that charge $100 an hour and some that charge $1,000 an hour. There's not a whole lot of differentiation on how that payment model works. It's almost always a time-based fee. And the ones who are at $1,000 an hour have no problem saying, this is why we charge $1,000 an hour. It's based on our history and our reputation and our, you know, success rate with our clients, et cetera. But you don't see a lot of back and forth on, you know, well, should we do it this way? Should we charge this way?
Right.
It's like, I'm worth this. This is the price. And the whole industry tends to get in line. I'm not saying that, you know, we need one model or another, but, you know, I think when we talk too much about the model of payment, it's often an unwise substitute for talking about defining the value and being able to put a price on it and then be able to explain and defend that price.
Yeah, agreed wholeheartedly. As always, Howard, it's a great pleasure to not only speak with you, but to get your insights. And frankly, from my perspective, I think you define what we're doing here at Event CEO. You are not only a CEO of your own several companies, but you look at everything that you do as a CEO from an event perspective. And I think that's, you know, really where the value lies and why you are so esteemed in our industry. So thank you very much.
My pleasure. Thanks for doing the podcast and thanks for having me on.
Howard, so appreciate your time and perspective on today's topic. Really meaningful to hear from you and someone who is so insightful in our industry. So for everyone out there, if you have more questions for Howard or me that you want answered in an upcoming session, be sure to email us at rebecca@eventceo.com. And also follow us on social media. All of the links are on our website at eventceo.com, and you can also find them on linderglobal.com as well. Please tell your event friends and colleagues about us and subscribe and follow us on social media for everything from sneak peeks, updates, and news on the latest episode releases. Thanks for listening, and as always, until next time, make your days great.